The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today, we're discussing ticks and preventing tick-borne diseases. And we're very fortunate to have with us today my colleague, Stacy Kraft, who is a public health education coordinator at the Ulster County Department of Health. She's worked there for 17 years on public health education and program planning. She served on the New York State Department of Health's Task Force on Tick Education. She was a member of the Ulster County Lyme Disease Advisory Committee. And she's trained at Fordham University's Lewis Calder Center Biological Field Station in tick identification and still provides that service to the health department. She has firsthand experience with having Lyme disease as a teenager and has recovered. So we think she's very uniquely qualified to discuss this topic. Good morning, Stacy. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Great. Stacy, in this region, we've all heard about ticks, obviously, and the potential health dangers associated with them. But can you give us a better idea of what diseases ticks carry and why we should be concerned?
Well, in addition to Lyme disease, deer ticks or black-legged ticks can pass babesiosis, which is a red blood cell disease, anaplasmosis, Boston viral encephalitis, or deer tick virus, and Borrelia miyamoto. And these range in severity, with the Boston viral encephalitis actually being potentially fatal. In Ulster County, though, Lyme disease is our most common tick-borne illness, and we see between 300 and 800 confirmed cases per year, but those are conservative numbers since the true incidence acknowledged by the CDC is several-fold higher. For Lyme disease, though, the transmission of the bacteria from an infected tick to a human can take hours, more often than a day. But the tick's small size makes them easy to overlook on the body, allowing time for transmission to occur. For babesiosis and anaplasmosis, transmission times can be shorter, between 12 to 36 hours. These are less common in Ulster County, but on the increase. We have not seen a case of Powassan yet in Ulster, but it has been in surrounding counties, so it's just a matter of time. This can transmit from a deer tick in just 15 minutes. So besides the problem of not usually being able to feel them bite, ticks range in size from a flaxseed to the head of a pin and can bite without being noticed. So that's why we all need to be doing daily tick checks.
Mm-hmm. And is there, with respect to Lyme disease, is there a vaccination for people and or pets?
Well, the first and only licensed vaccine against Lyme disease, called Lymerix, was developed by SmithKline Beckman, now GlaxoSmithKline, and it was given in a three-dose series. The vaccine had an unusual method of action. It stimulated antibodies that attacked the Lyme bacteria in the tick's gut as it fed on the human host before the bacteria were able to enter the body. That was about 78% effective in protecting against Lyme infection after all three doses of the vaccine had been given. It was licensed in 1998, but by 2002, it had been withdrawn from the market. So today, there are no vaccines available to prevent Lyme disease, but we're hopeful that there will be another licensed in the near future. Actually, for dogs, there are vaccines available and a necessary part of maintaining your pet's health, especially in areas where Lyme disease is highly endemic, particularly the Northeast U.S. and Ulster County. It's recommended that you have your pet vaccinated against Lyme disease-causing bacteria. And unfortunately, no vaccine or repellent is 100%, but combining immunizations with once a month tick preventive treatment provides your dog with the maximum protection against tick-borne illnesses.
And I know for my dog, I have a collar. In my case, it's a Seresto collar, which prevents ticks and fleas, and seems to be pretty effective. I mean, certainly nothing's 100%, but I think it's a good preventative measure.
Yes, I actually use that one as well on my dog, mm-hmm. and the company acknowledges it to be about 98% effective, which is one of the highest available. It does work great, and we think that's so important to even protect your pet so that they're not bringing the ticks into your home.
Mm-hmm. And with respect to where you said the numbers are higher than what we may be aware of, is that because not every case gets reported, or that the people just don't go to their doctors? How does that come about that it gets underreported, do you think?
Well, there's a few things going on with that. One is when a rash is present, a doctor can begin treating without doing blood work. And that's fantastic to start early treatment, because in many cases they can have a full recovery with early treatment. And sometimes, though, they're not letting the public health department know that a case was being treated, so that doesn't get in our count. Additionally, where we know about a certain number, there was a study by the CDC, and they concluded that there was several fold more that we just didn't know about.
Uh-huh. And is there a particular season or time of year when ticks are more prevalent? And what kind of ticks are likely to be out and about this time of year?
So ticks are actively looking for a warm blood meal when temperatures are above 40 degrees Fahrenheit, but they come out in high numbers in our area from April through November.
And what type of ticks are there that are out there right now?
So we're seeing a lot of adult female deer ticks right now, but we also will be seeing the nymphs, and the larva will be coming out later in the summer. The adults will be active throughout, and again, more common in the fall to see the adult ticks.
Mm-hmm. And then they overwinter, right? They can survive like the winter and then come back and start
yes,
the cycle again.
They sure can. They can live 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And so what are the types of habitats that ticks live in or prefer to live in, and so that would probably inform us being more aware to avoid those areas?
Yeah, I would avoid contact with overgrown grass, brush, leaf litter, at trail edges. They can even be in rock walls because of the rodents that dwell there. If you're going to be hiking or in grassy areas or gardening, you can wear repellents to help create a tick shield, but they don't replace a daily tick check.
Mm-hmm. And what types of repellents are people using, or should they be using, do you think?
Well, there is a number of options that are recommended by the CDC and the EPA. And the best way to find out what works for you is for you to go to a website, and that's the EPA's Find the Repellent That's Right for You website.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just Google that and it will come up. And based on your duration of time that you spend outside and what you're looking to protect against, whether that's mosquitoes or ticks, it will give you a full listing of what's best. But I really tend to go for my family the permethrin on the shoes, and this is something that is only available for clothing or shoes or camping gear. You wouldn't want to put it on your skin, but it really creates an effective tick shield by helping to kill the ticks.
It kills them, right, as
yeah.
opposed to the repellents, which may only deter them for a short while.
Right. Then from about the ankles to the shoulders on my children, because they're still rolling on the ground sometimes, I'll do the oil of lemon eucalyptus. And this is not lemon oil, and it's not eucalyptus oil. It's actually from a tree in Australia, and then synthesized to be able to mass produce it. So this you can find in a outdoor work and play type store. And They have a number of brands like Repel and Cutter and Coleman available that make this product, and it's good for ages 3 and up and very effective against ticks and mosquitoes. But there's a whole listing of other options as well. I just tend to go for those two because they are plant-based, originally derived from plants. So I like that idea.
And that information is all on the EPA's website?
Yes.
Got it. And so if a person finds a tick attached to themselves or a loved one, what do they do? How can they find out what kind of tick it is? And what steps should they take from that point?
Okay, so, well, first, it's important to remove the attached tick effectively. So you're wanting to use a tweezer or another device, such as a tick twister, that will help you to avoid crushing the tick's body when you're removing it. We never want to see people using petroleum jelly or a hot match or nail polish or other natural remedies to remove these things. We want to get them off as quickly as possible. And then cleanse the area with rubbing alcohol, soap and water, and save it in a sealed container. So this is a great option because then they can get it properly identified. And there are some tick apps out there that show some great photos of what the ticks look like. But if you're unclear about what pest you might have, then you can bring it to the Ulster County Department of Health's Tick ID program to find out a few things. So we can't tell you if your tick has germs. There are some labs that can do that for you, but what we can say is the species of tick that you have, how long it might have been feeding, and if the mouth parts are still attached. And this is all real important because different diseases transmit in different amount of times. And so if it looks like it hasn't been very swollen, then you're in a better position to possibly not have the disease transfer. But also, we know that ticks can not have the disease at all. And so some people want to bring that pest to the doctor. And if they have, for instance, a dog tick in our area, we're pretty happy about that because not many of them spread the Rocky Mountain spotted fever or tick paralysis or tularemia. We haven't seen much of that in Ulster County at all. Mm-hmm. So that, for instance, would be a better situation than, for instance, if they found the deer tick and then they're dealing with other potential signs and symptoms that they could be better on the watch for, knowing what they have.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to point out, too, that the CDC has a great tick identification app, which I actually have on my phone. So that's available for free from the CDC, so folks can grab that as well.
Yeah. Actually, they did just discontinue the app, but
they
have it
okay.
In a mobile optimized website now.
Oh, okay.
So you can still get the same information there.
Oh, great. Well, we want to learn a lot more about this. This is an important topic for all of us. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
The heart is a complex organ, but finding specialized cardiovascular care in Poughkeepsie and Kingston is so easy. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital are now home to WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute, the Hudson Valley's largest multi-specialty cardiovascular practice. They have state-of-the-art diagnostics and innovative imaging and testing technologies. You'll receive comprehensive cardiac and vascular care from some of the world's top cardiologists and vascular surgeons. You'll also have a seamless connection to advanced care at WMC Health's flagship hospital, Westchester Medical Center. The best cardiovascular care comes from the best people, and now the very best are right in your backyard. Visit wmchealth.org/heart to discover more about WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital, members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network. WMC Health, advancing care here.
Good morning. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and our special guest today is Stacey Kraft. She's a public health educator at the Ulster County Department of Health and my colleague and our resident tick expert. And Stacey, before the break, we were talking about the fact that when people find a tick attached to themselves, what they can do, what steps they should take. One of those steps might be visiting a doctor if people think they might have been bitten. So when they go for that visit, what information should they bring with them?
Well, if they know that they've had a tick encounter, they should have that tick saved in a sealed container so that it can be brought and shown to the doctor to identify whether it's a dog tick, deer tick, woodchuck tick, Lone Star tick, or whatever else it could be. Additionally, if they don't have the tick to save, then they should have a list of symptoms for how they're feeling, because I know myself, sometimes I feel a little nervous when I'm going to the doctor, and I might forget to include all the information that I've been feeling. So if I have it written down, I will have a better option of communicating how I'm feeling. And that's just so important when trying to get to the bottom of a tick-borne illness diagnosis, because doctors can use the blood results from a blood test, but they can also diagnose based on your clinical history. So you can be clear about all your symptoms and better able to get a good diagnosis that way. Additionally, if they've had a tick attached, it's important to consider that there's a prophylactic dose or a prevention dose that some doctors and people want to get in on. But its timing is very important. It has to be initiated, which I'm talking about a antibiotic, within 3 days of tick removal. So sometimes if you call the doctor and let them know that you've had a exposure to a tick, and if you're able to properly identify it as a deer tick, if it's engorged with blood and you're not allergic to doxycycline, they can get you started on this prevention dose within 72 hours of tick removal. After that initial 3 days, though, it's not going to be helpful for you to start that. So then usually you'll wait and see what kind of signs and symptoms appear, and really communicate that well to your healthcare provider if something comes up. But not all ticks do spread diseases, so that's another good thing to note. But certainly observing the site of the bite is very important. And generally, with most tick-borne illnesses, you're going to watch for 30 days to see any signs of an expanding red rash or looking for fever or anything out of the ordinary. Right. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So as much information as you can bring initially, more is better, right? In terms of more precise is better.
Yes, because they want to know if you have had a fever and some of the other common symptoms of tick-borne illnesses, in order to help you get started on the antibiotics if necessary. And I just want to mention that some people do want to send their tick away for testing, especially people who have young children that may not be able to communicate how they're feeling like to utilize that service. And there is a tick testing lab at UMass, University Massachusetts of Amherst, and they do the testing for about $50 for a multitude of tick-borne illnesses. Unfortunately, though, it's not covered by insurance.
Mm-hmm. And so, Stacey, as is the case with many of the disease and health challenges that we encounter at the health department and that we work on, we know that prevention is always the best medicine across the board. So in terms of tick-borne diseases, what practical steps can people take to avoid getting ticks on themselves, which would be the best way to prevent those diseases?
Well, you can decrease the chances of being bitten by a tick with a few precautions. If you're an infested tick area, then walk in the center of trails to avoid contact with overgrown grass, brush, and leaf litter at the trail edges. Use a tick repellent to create that tick shield, and make sure you're doing the EPA's registered insect repellents so that you're getting a powerful and effective repellent, but follow those product instructions closely. You can treat your own clothes, and I talked about this before, that permethrin, that active ingredient, is just really fabulous. You can even buy clothing that's pre-treated with that, and it will last a multitude of washes. And additionally, you can bathe or shower as soon as possible after coming indoors, preferably within 2 hours, to wash off and more easily find ticks that are crawling on you. Ticks can get a ride indoors on your clothes, and after being outdoors, you can tumble them dry in a hot dryer for 10 minutes, which will kill them if they're attached to your clothes.
And doing tick checks, right, is really important, right, for everyone, including our pets?
Yes, and they say if you're out there hiking, you know, you want to do it multiple times per hour, just to be scanning and looking for them. But certainly at the end of each day, you're going to be doing a very thorough check. And I like to use a full-length mirror. For people with vision issues, they can use a magnification mirror.
And with kids, you can use like a magnifying glass, right, and a good high intensity flashlight. And our pets, what are steps there?
Well, when they come inside, if you can brush them off before they get inside, that would be very helpful. Then you can be feeling for any little lumps or bumps and immediately remove them.
And so in reference to ones, we talked about being out in, you know, maybe on a trail or in a park, but what about around our own homes? What are some of the things that we can do?
There are some great tick-safe landscaping techniques that should be considered for homes, parks, fields, and recreational areas. The ticks need higher humidity levels of the woodland to survive. Otherwise, they die pretty quickly in drier environments like short grass. So removing leaf litter and clearing tall grass and brush around your houses and at the edge of lawns will reduce the number of ticks. Placing wood chips or gravel between lawns or play areas and wooded areas creates a dry barrier that is difficult for ticks to cross. The use of pesticides to control tick populations is another option. Pesticide application to residential properties should be supervised by a licensed professional pest control expert, though, and it should be done when the nymphal tick populations are at their local peaks. So right now would be the perfect timing. At the end of May, beginning of June, is when we're seeing a lot of the nymph ticks. Additionally, you can discourage deer because of the complex relationship that exists between the abundance of deer in the United States and the tick populations certainly are on the increase when the deer populations are thriving. Mm-hmm. And there's other things to discourage deer, and you can talk to your local garden centers, nurseries, and local extension agents to understand what are the best plants mm-hmm. to do that.
And Stace, so how can the community, how can our listeners get more information? How can they reach you, and where do they go for more information on this topic?
They could call me at the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health at 845-334-5527. Additionally, they can get more information from the CDC, the New York State Department of Health, the tickencounter.org website, which is the University of Rhode Island's fabulous site, and ours, the Be Tick Free Ulster County website.
All really terrific information. That's all the time we have for today. That went really quickly. Thank you very much, Stacey. And that's it for today. Tune in next week to Healthy Ulster Radio for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.